Hello and welcome to Fueling Around with me, Jason Plato, and the oil on my apex. Mate, that's a belter, Mr. Dave Vithy. Where did you get that from?
Well, I don't know, Jason Plato. The thing is, it's always difficult trying to find new and inventive ways to describe yourself when I'm writing this opening script, and I just thought, well, we haven't used it before. Why don't we try it now?
I like it. It's a belter.
Good, good.
Now, Fueling Around is powered, as you know, by Adrian Flux. As the UK's largest specialist insurance broker, Adrian Flux will tailor a quote to your exact needs and help you save money on your car, your bike, or even your home insurance. So, Dave, what's been going on?
We've been very, very busy, Jason Plato, to be honest with you. Busy working, busy not working, just busy generally. But so have you. I see that you've been back on track recently.
Mate, I was driving something a bit sexy on Monday.
I saw the pictures on Instagram because we have a mutual friend, that cameraman friend of yours who was filming you.
I saw
this moody picture in black and white in Anglesey, I think it was, if that's not giving the game away. And I thought, that looks like JP in something rather sexy.
Oh, mate, it's the Ferrari SF90. It's a 1,000 horsepower.
1,000 horsepower.
It's the fastest Ferrari they've ever made. Ever.
Wow.
It was ridiculous.
I bet. And was it wet in Anglesey? Because it's normally wet in Anglesey.
Unfortunately, yes, which made it a bit stressful, to be honest.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, I mean, it was just bonkers.
I bet it was.
And for the first time ever, this has never happened in all the, I don't know how many years I've been doing TV, but the big boss, like Mr. Big, sent me a text and said, do not crash it. Kid you not?
Whatever you do, don't bend it.
Yeah, honestly. I've never had a text like that before.
There's the instructions, and you may have heard there, because laughing away in the background was an indication to our special guest on this episode.
Yeah, well, indeed. And our guest today is quite simply a footballing legend, not only for England, but for his beloved Watford FC, who he's played more than 500 games, and wait for this, I mean, this is unbelievable, and scored no fewer than 186 goals. I mean, that's amazing, isn't it?
Isn't it?
He's a sporting legend, and also, actually, I've known him for years, he's a really thoroughly good bloke. It is, of course, the one and only Mr. Luther Blissett. Welcome, mate. How are you?
Jason, I'm good, sir. How are you?
Yeah, really great, thank you. Really
looking
great.
Very well, I must say.
He is, isn't he?
Actually, when I've seen you on the touring car thing, you've always got your crash helmet on, so I never actually see what you look like.
And as you can see now, rather charming, I think.
Absolutely.
But you look great as well.
It takes a lot of work. Takes a lot of work now at my age.
How old are you, mate? Can I ask?
You can ask. I'm 63.
If I look as good as you do at 63, I'll be happy.
You won't have a problem with that. And, you know, that 63 is a number I never, ever, ever thought seriously about at any time. I thought, 63, that is way older than anybody. Nobody should be alive at that age. But, you know, here I am.
Do you remember you got me playing football? You did you organised a BTCC.
Yes, Chesham Football Club.
And you told me it was bloody five-a-side. And guess
what?
It wasn't. It was on a big pitch.
Well, it was five-a-side. Then we added a few more people to make it 11-a-side, yes. Originally, it started off as that. But it was a good laugh. I enjoyed watching you guys going about it. It was fantastic.
So how did this come about? Because I was going to ask you, I obviously know that you two know each other from years gone by, but where did your paths, because they're not obvious paths that would cross. How did they cross and where?
Well, it was because Jason was at Vauxhall at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And a very good friend of mine, which I've known for a long time, he was actually working for Vauxhall, and then he took over the marketing and all the sponsorship for the cars.
Mm-hmm.
And it was him that said, you know, you love a bit of motor racing, you want to come along? And that's where it started. Met the man himself, you know, and he weren't bad then, to be quite honest.
I love that.
He weren't bad then.
I was above average then. Just above average.
Oh, I tell you, it was great.
And what sort of year is this?
2000, 2001.
Yeah. Shows how long ago. Yeah, it was a long time ago.
God,
20 plus years ago.
Mm.
Amazing.
Yeah. Thruxton. I remember going to Thruxton with Vauxhall on one of their media days they had.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when we get the pleasure of being driven around one of the most fastest, I think, one of the most dangerous circuits ever.
Yeah.
By some very friendly and totally insane racing drivers.
Unhinged.
Because they get in there and they drive around and they look, you're sitting in the back seat with somebody else. There's four of you in the car.
Mm.
right? And they're driving along at ridiculous speeds, and they look around and say, is everything all right back there?
Yeah. One hand on the wheel.
There is not a straight anywhere to be seen on that circuit.
Yeah.
But you would never have thought so the way these guys go around it. That shows how incredible they are, and the talent is just ridiculous.
Well, we said this before. I mean, funny enough, I did my ARDS test at Thruxton. It's a fantastic track, as you say. And so I've been lucky enough to do a few track days over the years, and obviously that's how our paths first met, Luther. Yeah. I'll have more about that in a second. But there's something really, really special. However much you enjoy driving and however good you think you are as an amateur, when you actually get into a car with professional, it's not just a bit faster, is it? It's a whole different ball.
It is a completely different level. It's the same as if you play golf and you play with professionals at a club. Mm. They're something else. But when you play with people like your Poulters and people like that, it is just a completely different level again. And I think it's exactly the same in whatever you do. But driving, because we all drive, most people drive.
Yeah.
And you think you can drive, but what those guys do is just...
Well, do you know what? There's two things which all men think they're great at. One is driving cars, and the other one is, obviously, you can imagine what it is.
Yeah.
I've got one of them sorted.
So when are you going to get back working on the cars then?
Luther, let's talk cars. But before we do that, we have to talk about the fact that I can't remember whether this was the first time we met or whether we'd met a couple of years earlier on a Ginetta media day. But certainly we were together at the Silverstone Classic in 2011. And they, at that point, used to have a celebrity race. Now,
it's always
good fun, and it's always well attended, and there's always incident. But never has there been incident quite like 2011. Luther Blissett.
Well, I remember. I remember this very well. I remember sat there in the club, you know, before you get in the car, before you go out, and you try and get your head in the right place, just like I did when I played football. You get yourself in the right place, and I thought, I'm not going to be passive today when I go out. I'm going to have a go. I'm not going to just do it just for the enjoyment today. I'm going to do a Jason. I'm going to go for it, let's say. Yeah. All right, they're going to have a go. Try and get somewhere near the front because I think I was about fifth or sixth on the grid, I think, somewhere, or something like that.
Oh, man, you're in the game. And so, you're in the game. You got a sniff of it.
Yeah, and so we set off, didn't we? We get out of the traps and we've gone first corner and I'm thinking, and I've just got myself some space, but I'm on the inside.
Yeah.
And going to that second, third corner there, I've gone, I can just get through the inside of that. But as I started to go through the inside, I can't remember who it was. I think it was a dancer who was driving the next
Brendan
car.
Cole, I think, gave you a nudge, didn't he?
And he sort of just closed the door on me a little bit in there. And it was just too late then to do anything because I thought, I don't want to slow down too much because I'll never catch him now. So I thought, I'd go over that curb. But I never actually looked at the curb. I was looking where I was hoping to end up on the other side. And as I went to go across the curb, because I just had that little nudge, the car just went sideways a bit. Front wheel got over fine, no problem. But the rear left just slid into it and hit it face on.
Yeah.
And that just flipped the car over. And I remember sat there in this thing, and just before it happened, as I said, deja vu sort of thing, I went, it's bloody going to turn over. And I'm driving a Morgan, so it ain't got a roof.
No.
So I'm thinking, shit, what do you do? So I went, I know what I do. Hands off the wheel and make myself as small as possible, just like the dog tries to do every time I try to get him out. And I've sort of crunched myself down like that in the car. And it's gone over and it's gone bang, 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 and then land on its wheels. Brand new crash helmet as well, by the way, I'd put on that morning.
And did it get a scratch or a ding on it?
Oh.
Destroyed it.
Yeah.
Destroyed it.
Honestly.
Destroyed it.
I was about two or three cars behind you at that moment when you hit that curb. And likewise, in the same way that we all sort of know that life slows down, you know, with an accident, and you must have been thinking, blimey, this is going to go over any minute. And I'm there thinking, bloody hell, he's going to go over in a second. And then he did. And honestly, it's the most shocking thing I've ever seen in my brief time on a racetrack because it was so close and obviously so extreme. Was it three times?
Three times it rolled, yeah.
And I literally sort of had to steer around you as I was worried that you were going to actually roll over into me at one point. And I kind of, at that point, obviously, they stopped the race. And everybody went back in. And we all sat back in this meeting room again, where we'd been no more than about 10 minutes earlier for this briefing. And obviously, we're all sitting there, we're all excited and whatnot. And then we all go back in there, and everyone's a bit like, I don't want to play anymore. I don't want to do it anymore.
The atmos changed, eh?
Yeah. And all I wanted to do was get back in and get me another car and get me back out there. And they go, no, you got to go to the thing. You've got to go and get checked out in a medical centre.
It's a surreal experience, isn't it, when you go over?
It is. It's the first time it has ever happened in anything. Yeah. And it was just so weird. And I was just like, it's actually going over. Mm. And I had this conversation with myself just before it happened. And I, you know, there's no time to do that. But I went, it's going over. What's going to happen? That's what it's going to you.
Yeah, but the other thing as well is that, of course, the difference here is that all of these cars are all privately owned, right?
They are.
So it's not like what they used to do beforehand is, I think they used to race Fiat to Bath. So obviously,
oh, that was great. The Baths are lovely.
Yeah, all press cars, weren't they? Yeah.
They'll turn up with a truck full of press cars, and obviously, you know, and worst case scenario, if one of them gets pranged or whatever, it's not the end of the world. But these Morgans are all individually sort of cherished items.
Oh my God,
so of course, then when said owner in his red jeans and his flat cap or whatever is at the side,
but
watching
he did have
his
red jeans as well, cords, jumbo cords,
red cords, watching his pride and joy be lifted out of the. I mean, that's got to be a difficult moment, because there was yours, and I think the next year Brendan Cole put his straight into an arm cap.
Yeah. But the thing is, especially with my one, it was, when you think of it from the other point of view, being a press car or not a press car, is for Morgan to actually have one of their cars in a race go over with not a racing driver, but a so-called celebrity in the car, and they walk away from it, not a scratch or whatever.
True.
Yeah. What does that do for their publicity and everything? It's huge for them, that alone. Because I know that they gave the guy whose car it was, they gave another car and all sorts, you know. Because PR they got out of it would have been amazing just for that at all.
Yeah.
Whereas if it had been gone really badly, then... I don't think it would have been quite received the way they did on the PR side.
Absolutely.
Tell us about your first ever car.
Yes.
Do you remember?
My first ever car was that I actually bought. Because when I was a kid, we lived in Willesden, and by the side of where the house, where there's an alleyway. And my dad had a Morris Minor, and he bought another one. And we took all the best bits from that one and put on the next one he bought.
Brilliant.
And us as kids, because this alleyway went down to the road, we used to get in this Morris Minor and take turn and drive in it, and the others would push it. So we'd push it down there to the main road, and we're pushing it down to this main road, and we all go in there, and we'd slam the brakes up, stop, back it back up, and somebody else had to go. And this sort of nonsense we do. But my first car was a Vauxhall VX490. It was,
okay.
And it was flame red. It was called, I think it actually was called Flamingo Red. I think it was.
Wow.
And I got it because we had a young chap staying with us at our house, because my mum took him in, and he'd been banned from driving. And he also had some HP left on the car. So he said to me, I'm not going to be able to drive for the next 18 months or whatever. So I said, if you want to take over the HP on the car and whatever, you can have it. So I did that, repaired bits and pieces that needed repairing on it myself. And that was my first car.
Wow.
Loved it.
Yeah.
Oh, it was so much fun, because it was a 2-litre overhead cam thing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, probably only had about 110 horsepower, if that was it.
That for a first car. I mean, that's not a typical first car, is it? Because it's quite, you know, as you say,
it's a big old car.
It's a big old car, you know?
Yeah. It's a big old car. And it was, because my dad had Vauxhalls after that, because then he bought a Vauxhall Cresta.
Mm.
And I still remember the registration now. It was 888 MV.
888? No way.
Wow. Yeah. I tell you what, that would be worth some money now, that registration.
Wouldn't it?
Wouldn't it just?
Isn't it weird how we store those things in our heads?
And I can't remember what I had for breakfast about 2 minutes ago, but I can remember that.
Do you know what? This is a common thread or a common line that we go down with most of our guests, because like myself and Jason, we can just remember those things, exactly what you said. Can't remember what I had for breakfast this morning, yet I can remember the registration of every car that I've ever owned.
Wow.
And every car that my dad ever owned during my lifetime.
That's incredible.
He's a bit weird, isn't he, Luke? It's a bit old.
You're a Rain Man the wrong way, really, aren't you?
Yeah,
we can't take Las Vegas, can we, and make a load of money out of you?
No chance. So where does it go from there then, Luther? Where does it move after the VX490?
It went to an Opel Manta. And I bought that new.
Nice.
SR Opel Manta it was. Really lovely. Black one. Black vinyl roof.
Yeah.
Bring back vinyl roofs, I say.
Yes.
It was lovely. That was my next car I bought. Loved it.
So sticking on the General Motors side of the fence, I see.
Yeah, because I always actually wanted one of the Manta 400s, but it was so rare. Talk about rocking horse poo. I mean, they really are rare beasts, they are.
I'd say I reckon that'd be worth a few bob now if you had a 400, don't you reckon?
Oh, God, you'd be well and truly minted with one of those babies. Yeah, loved it. And I used to see one. When I went to Bournemouth, actually, a guy had one and I drove past this thing. I could see it on his drive and I thought, if only.
Go on then. So moving on, where does it progress? And are you staying on the General Motors side of things?
Yeah, I mean, I've gone pretty much General Motors on most of them until I went to Italy. And it was when I went to Italy that I bought a Golf GTI. And then I also bought a Beamer 323i.
Nice.
Bought that as well, which was lowered with big old Pirelli P0s on it and whatever, which it used to eat them, by the way, that stupid car. It used to eat P0s. And what they used to cost at that time as well was just...
Did you put a paving slab in the boot? Because that was the trick with the one. You go to Wix or whatever and you get yourself a big paving slab, for like patio slab, and stick it in the boot.
It needed one.
And that used to improve it no end.
Yeah, it needed something in there, but it was just...
A bit lively,
weren't
they?
Fun to drive around the streets and that. But when it rained, you drove around like you're driving Miss Daisy, mate, when it was really wet. It was lethal when it was wet. Especially once it was loaded with them big old tyres. It was such a dangerous car. But left-hand drive as well, I must add, when I brought it back to England. So, yeah, but it was great fun.
That was always a car that I sort of lusted after as a kid. I remember my dad used to have a 2002 when I was really little.
Oh, has he still got it?
No.
Have you got it?
No, I don't. My dad lived in Hong Kong. And I was born out there, and so I was must have been about 3 or 4, something like that. And I've got pictures somewhere. And he had this beautiful, gleaming white 2002. And he just, you know, as part of our car history and journey, he sold it to buy something else.
Yeah, it's mad, isn't it? I lusted after one of those.
Yeah,
that
one
and the Batmobile, lusted after those two Beamers. I did. Still the best.
Yeah, yeah. But the 323i was still something that I think he always quite fancied himself in and never actually got there.
That was a nice car. Very nice car.
My man worked for BMW when I was a kid. I had a dealership, and I can remember driving from Newcastle down to the British Grand Prix in, was it 77? I think it might be 1977. And he had a 3.3 CSL Batmobile, which he was taking, it wasn't his, it was BMW's. He was taking it to Silverstone. And I can remember sat in, and he had full harness, race seats, the whole shaboogle. I can remember sat with a Parker coat over my head, thinking I'm Batman. and we got pulled over by the Rossers at Selby Fork on the A1 because we were doing 100 mile an hour. And the old man said, watch this. And then actually all he wanted to do was have a look at the car.
Yeah.
He didn't get nicked. We got away with it.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, they were stunning, weren't they?
Yeah, stunning, yeah. Yeah. Beautiful.
Would you describe yourself as a BMW man, Luther, generally now? Or
No. I love BMWs and all of that. I mean, I became, when Vauxhall, I've neglected to say, when I actually got rid of the Manta, I bought a Droopsnoop Forenza.
Now, Jason, who had one of those that we spoke to? Oh, I know who it was. It was Steve Jones. Was it not Steve Jones' dad?
Was Steve Jones. Yes, it was.
Steve Jones' dad had one of those.
I think you're right, yeah. Mate, great car. Jerry
Fantastic.
Marshall.
Yeah.
God rest his soul.
That's right, because I went and got, I bought, I actually, after I had mine for about 5 or whatever it is, I thought, and it started to rot a lot of the bits and pieces. I went, I'm going to get the old nail body kit for it. And I did. And Vauxhall in Harlesden, they fitted all the body kit to this car for me, and I got the bigger wheels and all of that on it. Amazing car.
Yeah, do you remember the name of what Jerry's was christened in the racing world? They called it
Big Bertha.
Big Bertha, yeah.
Baby Bertha and Big Bertha. He had the two, didn't he? Yeah.
We've often said, though, that I think there's a bit of a tribal thing when it comes to cars, especially with Ford and Vauxhall. And I think you tend to be one or the other based upon, I guess, essentially what your family thing is. You know,
and it is.
It's a bit like being City or United or Liverpool or Everton or whatever like that. You know, I think
completely.
My dad was a Ford man, right? Yeah. And so Ford was the badge that pretty much defined
it's part
my
of your
childhood.
DNA.
Whereas
what
I would imagine that, you know, as I say, listening to your car
Vauxhall.
History, you're on the other side. You know,
it became Vauxhall, and my brother though, he was the one. He went on the Ford side. He went to the dark side. So he on that, so he was Ford. So it was always interesting because. He would buy the GLSs and whatever, Cortinas and whatever. Yeah. And I always had a Vauxhall Aviva. I had an HB, I had an HS as well. Wow. I had an HS Chevette.
Yeah.
I had a GT Viva as well. Mm-hmm. Love that. I saw one go past the other day down the road from where I live. And I was like open mouth thinking, oh, I want that car. It was beautiful. It's lovely. So they've always sort of been sort of the cars and that. So yeah, Vauxhall has been always a big thing. But when they stopped making stuff, that was sort of, because everybody got to the point where they didn't want to make cars which looked like you could enjoy driving them, didn't they?
Yeah.
So,
do you know that Viva GT is a good looking motor, isn't it?
It is a great looking car.
They can't all have been good though, Luth. Have you had any stinkers in your Vauxhall sort of lineage? You must have had a duffer somewhere, didn't you?
No.
Really?
No, all the cars I bought, what we used to do, whatever car we bought, because most of them we didn't buy new, the first thing we did, we would strip it and rebuild it.
Yeah.
And my brother. Okay. We'd strip it down and rebuild it so you knew what you were getting. Because when I bought the Droops new, we bought it and we got it back and we went, oh, it's got a slight oil leak, which I knew about anyway. So we dropped the cross member down and everything. Good job. Cross member was actually cracked. So I had to go, got a new one. And so you know, that sort of reaffirmed that was the right thing to do. Strip it, rebuild it, then you know what you got. And so, it was always fine. And I actually strayed from Vauxhalls and went to Renault because when they brought out the GTA, the Alpina, the original one back in 96, I bought one of the very first ones. But that was a toss-up between that and the Lotus. I went and test drove it. And the Esprit V8, all that, I went and sat in one and I went, this is so nice. V8, beast of a thing it was. And I thought, my only problem is if I get a knock while I'm playing and I'm injured, I say, I can't get in and out of this car. seriously, because I got in it. And you literally climbed over it was like that to get over the sill to drop in this thing. And so I thought, if I ever had a knock or whatever, I'd never get out. I couldn't even get in it.
So you went for the Alpine then?
So I went for the Alpine.
And did that go bang?
No.
Did it blow up?
Actually, it didn't. No. Because I then went and got a turbo one about 3 years later.
As someone who has spanned football and cars, obviously largely football, I mean, we talk about now sort of footballers and their cars and the car parks at training grounds, not to the same extent, but was the competition in your day in terms of what you'd rock up to the training ground in?
Well, you've got to think about what was available, don't you? Mm. We were sponsored by a company called Underhill & Young at Watford. So we had British Leyland. So you had the Allegro, the Maxi, and all of those, the Marina and all of these things. Let's face it, they were a pile of crap, all of them. That was the range of cars that they tried to palm off on everybody. And you can imagine that in yellow and black.
These Premiership footballers now, they're lucky, aren't they? Because
they've got no idea. They've never lived. You know, we used to get in from a game back to the car park at sort of on a Saturday night at about sort of 11 o'clock or whatever. And winters them days used to be really cold at that time. Yeah. So it'd be frost and everything. And you couldn't open the doors sometime. And the bloody things wouldn't start. And all sorts. We had all sorts of issues with cars then, Dave.
Pulling the choke out and stuff. Do you remember that?
And all sorts. Hey, we had to push cars down hills to get them started and all sorts of that there of the night in your shoes and, you know, to help each other make sure people got home. It was just, they have got no idea. You know, jumping their Ferraris and their Lambos and stuff. Huh.
I've got a challenge for you, Luther. You've got to get a picture of Ronaldo or Messi in an Allegro. Obviously, just for us, we won't use it. Wouldn't that be great?
It would be amazing, wouldn't it?
There's your challenge. Right, I've got a question for you, Luther. Of all the cars that you've ever owned,
You need to pick one of them and one only and stick with it for the rest of your life. Which one is it and why?
A drip snoot. Not even have to think about it.
I was about to say, don't rush. I'll give you some time, but you don't
even
need it.
Have that. To think
Off
about it.
Blimey.
And I mean, since then, I've had Alfa Romeos and stuff, which I love the old Alfas because they're just But no, the droop snoot, because there was just something about that car. So I saw one in the showroom one Saturday evening. I was driving from somewhere and I saw this car and I went, wow. And I pulled over and parked on the side of the road there and crossed over and went and had my face stuck to the window looking at it, thinking, oh, look
what,
at
what
that.
Nose to the glass.
Literally of the showroom like that, thinking, literally was a, you know, kid in the candy store, and it was just one of the most brilliant looking cars I've ever seen. And so I thought, I've got to have one of those. I've got to find one of those from somewhere. And it was about two, three years later, I was looking. I thought, now's the time to look. And I saw one in Upminster and I saw one somewhere else. And I went and looked at the one in Upminster. And I remember the guy wanted about £1,500 for it back at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, so you do. You went with a bit of cash in your hand, but so I went in and I've only got the 1,200 quid on me. I can, you know, send you the rest and whatever. So I said, if you can stretch the 13, well, I'll take that. So me and my brother, we went, job done, son. Right.
1,300.
Job done. I went, there you go. Take it away. Because we knew that they knew more than likely there was going to be work having to be done on it.
Yeah.
It was really lovely. So that's why I don't have to think about it. But it was sort of like your dream cars. There's a couple, the Countach, because I think every kid had one. And I think James May said it absolutely right on the wall of you. Everybody had it. And, you know, it is, because it's just the most outlandish, ridiculous looking car ever. But as a kid,
agreed,
you want that, don't you?
Agreed.
Or the Ferrari 512 BB.
Yes.
I would love one of those.
Yes, me too. Those were the poster cars, of our day.
Yeah.
We ask this to pretty much all our guests. So you've got a fancy garage, Luther. You're allowed two cars. Money's no object, but only two cars. What are they going to be?
Right. Only two cars.
Yep.
I would have, I think, for me, this is me trying to stretch it out so I can go through the ones. They're taking them off the list as I'm going along to say no. I think the first one would have to be the, I think I'd have to have the McLaren Senna.
Oh,
okay.
Nice work.
I think that would have to be one of them.
Yep.
And the second one is difficult because you can go Ferrari.
Is he going to go for the droop snoot?
It's between the droop snoot at the moment and the, and I just had a thought about the Bugatti and I'm not sure.
I love it. Straight from droop snoot
to Bugatti in one move. I mean, that's why this program is so good.
Yeah,
it is. But it's a difficult one, isn't it? That is a difficult one.
It is a difficult one. This is the sort of thing that if we were doing this in the pub over a beer, we could stretch this whole conundrum over 2 hours, easy.
Yeah.
All night.
Yeah, the second one would be a difficult one. Do you go with something that you could comfortably drive around in, or do you go for something even more outlandish than the first?
Yeah. That's it, because you need things that will do, I guess. You know, you need some.
No, you don't. It's in the garage. What's the matter with you?
Well, yeah, but how are you going to do the tip run?
They're not for that.
Oh, yes. You've only got
two cars.
You get somebody else to do that.
Okay, fine.
I like it. I like
it. A man with a van. Why the hell would you want to do that yourself? The only two you're going to do. You don't do labour in yourself, do you? Let's be honest.
What about electric? Would you think about electric?
Oh, no. No. No, because all the electric cars they're building now, they will not be around like all the cars they used to make a long time ago. And why would you want to keep one of them? Because most of them are just a car with electric engine in it. Something different about it. There's just something about cars of that age era. When you're talking about, and even before, up to when, you know, diesel started taking over the world, there was just something about cars which was just very, very special, I think. I don't think I would go for electric, actually. Because, you know, for one thing, you know, by the time it becomes you have to have one, I don't think I'll be here anyway, so why would I worry about it?
Oh, mate, you will. All these cryogenics, we'll have you frozen, mate. Don't you worry about that.
Mate, you'll still be around on Series 7. Yeah. I have no doubt about
We'll thaw you out.
Absolutely.
Love it.
Luther, right, here's one for you. We always think that music and cars go well together, so we need your fantasy drive before we let you go today. So where are you? Where are you going? What are you listening to? And most importantly, what are you driving?
Right. Only because I did a rally, but it was a charity thing for prostate cancer.
Yep.
And we did it from here to Italy and back. And we did it south of France as well.
Yeah.
And I did one. A friend, and shows you how good friends I have. I went to cricket with him. He invited me to cricket at Lord's. And we were just chatting, and I says to him, Andrew, do you ever thought about maybe you'd loan me your car to do a rally in? It's just nothing silly, not racing or anything, just from here to there and back, sort of thing, for prostate cancer. And he said, which one? I went, the R8.
No way.
And without even hesitating, he went, yeah, no problem. I said, you do realise it will have just over 2,000 miles more on it when it comes back. Yeah. He went, yeah, not a problem at all.
Wow.
So having done that, and in homage to him doing that, I would do it in an R8.
Yeah.
Wow. And what will be on the 8-track?
It would be...
The R8 track.
Yeah. Very good.
Thank you, Dave.
Boom. It would be, I think with that, you'd have to have a bit of Barry White.
Yep.
And where I'd be going, I would not care.
Oh.
It would just literally, as long as there's tarmac,
yeah,
we would keep going.
See, I think cruising through the Mont Blanc tunnel with the Walrus of Love, I mean, it doesn't get better than that, does it?
Certainly.
And I tell you, we went through there, and as you do when you're an infantile 50-odd-year-old, as you do.
Windows down.
Windows down, floored it.
Yeah.
What a wonderful noise as you went by.
Do you know what? I kid you not, I did it last night coming under a tunnel under the M40. There was no one around. I dropped the windows or whatever, front and back, and then floored it.
It is a very childish thing to do. But
I was only coming back from Tesco's.
But how good do you feel when you do that?
Oh, it's wonderful.
It's great, isn't it?
It is absolutely wonderful. And I only ever, and on the trip, I only really put my foot down on it once. We were a little bit late to get to the next place, and I thought, let's see what this thing really can do.
Brilliant.
And my goodness me, for the sort of 20 minutes that I floored it for, I thought, I better not keep doing this because I'm enjoying it too much and I'll almost certainly get pulled over by somebody if I kept doing it. It was wonderful. I think I'm not going to say how fast I was going, but it was just literally there was nothing not vanishing very rapidly in the rearview mirror.
Well, mate, we're going to meet you wherever you're going to go. We'll be at the other end.
Good on you.
Jet fresh with a gin and tonic in our hand stood by the quayside. How about that?
Yeah. Sounds cool to me, that.
Sounds good, doesn't it?
That'll do, won't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think on that note, Jason, you need to take us out.
Right, well, that's about it, sadly, for this week's Fueling Around, powered by Adrian Flux. As the UK's largest specialist insurance broker, Adrian Flux will tailor a quote to your exact needs and help you save money on your car, your bike, or even your home insurance. Thank you, Dave, as always, and a huge thanks to our very special guest this week, the one and only Mr. Luther Blissett. Thanks, pal. Great to speak to you again.
Thank you. Always a pleasure, guys.
Superb, Luther. Thank you. Don't forget, you can get in touch with us on Twitter at Jason Plater or at David Vitti. And if you like what you've heard, feel free to give us a 5-star rating, press the subscribe button and share the podcast on all your socials.
Thanks for listening and, well, we'll see you soon.